Blog Talk Radio.
Sensuality, and these Blog Talk radio shows are brought to you by a group on allpoetry.com called Late Night Poets, and we have books available, anthologies available on amazon.com filled with poetry from around the world, and so those help support the show, so feel free to check those out. And tonight's show is based on a contest that Louis Wild Dove and myself ran, and it is the history of The History of Love for the Art of Seduction, a quote by Pablo Neruda. And the quote goes, "I have slept with you all night long while the dark earth spins with the living and the dead. And on waking suddenly in the midst of the shadow, my arm encircled your waist. Neither night nor sleep could separate us." So that's the quote. And that's tonight's contest-based show. So I'm going to check the phone lines here real quick here. And we'll see who's hiding in the shadows.
Hello.
Hi, is that Naomi?
Yeah, it's me.
Hi, welcome to the show. And hi, Lawrence.
Hey, good evening. Hi, Naomi. Hi, Gray.
Hello, Laura. Hi, Gray.
Hi. Welcome to the show, both of you. Oh, I'm going to put you to work right away, Lawrence, if you don't mind. This is by Malibu.
All right.
There we go.
This is called A Night So I Feel Alone, by Malibu. There are those nights while you sleep, people, in the womb, our bed. My hand needs not reach far to the spine of your sleeping flower. Awakens you beneath the cover of darkness, where, in a brief moment, the heat of your breath, now felt on my chest, enfolds me until morning's caress. End poem.
Beautiful read, Lauren. And, you know, this is a touching poem. There are those nights while you sleep, fetal, in the womb, our bed. My hand needs not reach far for the spine of your sleeping flower. Just such a pretty picture painted there. What did you think of the write, Naomi?
Oh, I thought it was beautiful. Just so so tender and so loving. And, you know, it reflects the quote so well. It's just, and those lines that you mentioned, they are gray, are so beautiful. And the heat of your breath now felt on my chest enfolds me until morning's caress. Wow, that's just beautiful there, that ending. Now, this is a beautiful piece. Bravo, Malibu.
Thank you so much. And, Lord, what did you think?
Well, it's a nice brevity. That first stanza, when the hand reaches for the spine of a sleeping flower, is the awakening. And the next stanza, and it happens very quickly, the heat of your breath now felt on my chest, is an instant response to the caress or to the hand. And I thought that was accomplished rather skillfully. Nice poem.
Well said. Thank you, Lauren. Okay, I'm going to put your poem up, Naomi, because I know you're calling in long distance.
No, well, I'm okay. Now I have Skype, so I just pay $5 a month, and I can phone the U.S. for as long as I want. So I'm fine.
That's great. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, if you're
Pardon me? Yeah? Do you want me to read it? Yeah. Meet me in a moment. J'ai faim. J'ai envie de toi. Je veux savourer chaque centimètre de ton corps. Toi et moi, nus, en sueur et gémissant. Il n'y a rien à rajouter. Your arms encircle me, caressing me in the warmth of a quilt, blanketing my body in the softness of chiffon clouds. My thirst for you flames up as a swollen moon. My nails ache for the touch of you, like yearning greens peeking out from under autumn's shade. My pulsating body strained as the chords on a violin aching to scratch its neck, my every nerve screaming for you as iris is bleeding in need of light. Oh, reach for me. Come meet me in a moment. Make me forget and burn me to heal. Fire my name upon your tongue as rivers run through our bed. My soul sinking slowly down the river, drowning into yours. As throughout a night's soft lullaby, we row, 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 orbiting galaxies unknown, where the atmosphere meets blooming water, and boats of paper mache dock, waiting for that eclipse wherein our spirits meet without letting sleep take a breath. end poem.
Well, that was a beautiful read, and especially the French, I like that. But your poem is so touching and full of love and desire and passion. Bleeds through these lines, you know. As the chords in a violin aching to scratch its neck, my every nerve screaming for you as iris is bleeding in need of light. Oh, reach for me. Come meet me in a moan. Just tantalizing and seductive. A beautiful take on the prompt. And Lord, what did you think?
Oh, I like this a great deal. Those first lines in French, I'm hungry. I yearn for you. I want to savor every centimeter of your body. You and me, naked. Nothing more to add. It's well done. You stole one of the stanzas I was going to quote, my every nerve screaming for you. Mat down to make me forget and burn me to heal. It's so passionate and well written. And I love the French. Always a perfect introduction to sensuality. And then further on towards the end, waiting for that eclipse wherein our spirits meet without letting sleep take a breath. I thought that was very well written, very passionate.
Well said.
Thank you, Lover.
Mm-hmm.
And would you like to say anything about your poem, Naomi?
Well, you said quite a bit there. I just went with the flow here, and I added the French in because it's my language, and I think it's such a passionate language to write in. And I just went with the flow and tried to find metaphors that went along, and yeah, just in the mood for a passionate write today.
you did a good job. Thank you, Naomi. Okay, so we're going to bring on another call here. Area code 419, who's calling, please?
This is Adam.
Hey, Adam.
Adam
Akrasan.
Yeah.
Hey, Adam.
Oh, man. I'm great, you know. Getting to hear that was a pleasure and a treasure, let me tell you. Oh, my God, Naomi. This was a master stroke right here. I'm sorry that these puns are rolling off like this. It's so sad, honestly. But this was beautiful, beyond beautiful and seductive and layered and amazing metaphor. And imagery was just so intense. And I loved all the lines that were referred to by Laurent and Gray. It had me. It just had me from the beginning. That French, I was immediately like, oh, my God. Like, I didn't even know what was being said. It didn't even matter. I was just enwrapped by it. And the reference back to the moon was cool, like the refrain back to the moon at the end. I thought the ending was succinct. It was just perfect. It was just beautiful. And then, like, the row. I mean, there's nothing you can't say amazing about this. Every line just screams out much she desires and this person, and it's just wow.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to bring on another caller here from area code 419. Who's calling, please?
It's Kels.
Hi,
Kels.
Hey, Kels.
Hello, kids. How is everybody?
Great.
The children are good.
Good, thank you. So, since you're on the phone, Adam, I'm going to grab your piece.
Oh, man. All right, cool.
Okay, I'm going to post it.
So I got this written, like, really quickly in the time frame. I think it's fair enough. I hope so, at least. I think I literally started writing it with 10 minutes until the showtime. Which doesn't do the quote, you know, service at all.
But.
am I on still, or what's it?
Yep.
Hello? Yep.
We're waiting. Waiting.
Are you
for
waiting for me to read?
Yeah.
Oh, you're waiting for me to read? Oh, I didn't even know. I was waiting for like a cue or something. Like, all right, go, dude. My bad. Oh my God. All right, enraptured waxing. Conjoined as twin flaming vines, reaching ever into the morrow of elapsing time, betwixt an eye's center burns, forth out earth and presence, a suffocation I yearn. Rouses eye to search evermore, with blind and perilous unsteady hand into broken moor. I find the gilded lotus shape, she shudders a breath of peace, silhouette of new body and face. A harmonious eloping escape, captured here with her forever eternal raptured wake. End poem.
Well, that was a beautiful read, you know, and the write is fantastic as well. It's full of visuals and, you can feel the emotion in it. I find the gilded lotus shape, she shudders a breath of peace, silhouette of new face, body and face. So, just a fantastic write. What did you think, Lauren?
Well, referencing the part that you started, I find the gilded lotus shape, she shudders a breath of peace, silhouette of nude body and face, a harmonious eloping escape, captured here with her forever, eternal raptured wake. I find that portion of the poem flows beautifully. The image is intimate, it's captivating, it really draws the reader in. Your initial line, conjoined as twin flaming vines, reaching ever into the marrow of the elapsing time, is a beautiful way to introduce what's going on. It's slightly abstract, only slightly, but it works really, really well as a metaphor. Nice job, my friend.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. And Naomi, what did you think?
Oh, look, I picked out all the lines.
I picked out what he picked out. Come on now.
I was really, from the beginning there, conjoined as twin flaming vines. Oh, wow, you know. Just the imagery there of twin flaming vines, you know, those vines on fire. I was caught from that beginning line and all throughout. And I love the wording in this, you know, into broken moor and a suffocation, a yearn, rouses I to search evermore with blind and peerless unsteady hand. And I find the gilded lotus shape. And then the lines that Laurent mentioned at the bottom, they are just beautiful. You did this in like 10 minutes on migrations. I'm so jealous. I take like a whole day, sometimes a whole week to write one piece. This is just beautiful, Adam.
Oh, you flatter me so. I mean, I should take that much time. I didn't know like the show was going on. Like, I'm so out of the loop sometimes, you know, just kind of getting socialized and on the site. So I'm kind of out of step with a lot of things. So I'm trying to get acclimated to it all so I can be more well prepared, because actually this pales compared to yours, Naomi, truly. So, I mean, don't flatter me so fast. I'm gonna, like, but thank you.
Wonderful comment, Naomi.
Kel,
what did you think?
Well, considering the time frame, I think he did a fantastic job, even without the time. I mean, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely beautiful. Personally, I wish I could write like that, because I am very literal in my writing. So to come up with the metaphors and stuff that people use, it just blows me away every time. But like Naomi said, from beginning to end, this is just, it's exquisite writing. It really is. I enjoyed all of it, Adam. Absolutely beautiful.
Thank you, Kel.
Thank you, Kel. Okay, Kel, do you have to read and run, or are you able to hang out and read for us?
I can hang for a little while, but it's been a really, really long day. So,
okay,
Gray, I'll try to stay as long as I can.
Okay, I'm going to put up the next poem. If you wouldn't mind, please, reading for Tomahawk, Kel.
Sure. As with a love evanescent, Tomahawk, rocked in the arms of Morpheus, sharing a miracle of evanescence, there adjoined two kindred spirits. Oh, golly. I can't read that. I have no idea.
Yo mi amor, con todo mi corazón.
Thank you, yeah. Naomi. You might get with the next one, too. That this timeless space stays with ours, the precept of romantic blessings in this nocturnal journey of passion. We slept noted as one in chimeric love, though no measure of sound intervenes, though a brief awakening ensues. This was our vagrant proclamation. Aqua esperasado con vos suave. I don't even know if that was close. And that passion, air present in us, imbued with a serendipitous kiss, pulsated within our dreams and hopes, therefore nothing noble force could avert. As a night bird envelops the peaceful, we envelop our love's ascending crescendo, even in simply lying prone to each other. Que sempre sonamos la realidad. Neither night nor sleep could separate us. The stark reality of day brought to bear life's inevitability the day I lost you. For in truth, tomorrow is promised to no one. And though we are no longer we, my darling, forever shall we permeate my conscience, as in my dreams, forever indelible in my heart, la luna te trae a mi. I'll find you in the morning sun, and when the night is new, I'll be looking at the moon, but I'll be seeing you. End poem.
Oh, that was beautiful read. Beautiful read, Kel. And Tomahawk, that was an amazing poem. You know, it was full of love and ethereal connection, you know, and bonding outside of this lifetime into, you know, the cosmos, really. I thought it was just beautifully done. What did you think, Laurent?
Well, there is a sense of, not a sense, but a fact of loss. I don't know whether the loss is due to death or due to the vagaries of romance, but in the stanza, and that passion are present in us, imbued with a serendipitous kiss, pulsated within our dreams and hopes, therefore nothing, no force could avert. And I will take that as a loss due to a passing of a loved one. So it is sad, but in the sadness there is still beauty. I'll find you in the morning sun, and when the night is new, I'll be looking at the moon, but I'll be seeing you. It's well done. I enjoyed this a great deal. It works really nicely with the prompt.
Beautiful comment. Thank you, Laurent. And Naomi, what did you think?
This is just beautiful. I'm looking up to see what the phrase in Spanish means. Right now it means you and me, my love, in all my heart, the phrasing in Spanish. This is so beautiful. Though no measure of sound intervenes, though a brief wakening ensues, this was our vibrant proclamation. This is just superbly written here, Tomahawk, and wow, just bravo, bravo. And I love those ending lines, I'll be looking at the moon, but I'll be seeing you. That is just beautiful, a beautiful ending.
Thank you, Naomi. And Adam, what did you think?
I thought it was so well written, beautiful imagery, metaphor, and I knew it was personal. I had the feeling, just the feel of it, and you could feel also the loss in it, which is true. I mean, you definitely get the idea, you know, that. But the fact that it's so deep, as you had mentioned, Gray, about the bond reaches beyond the now, and it's forever, it's eternal. This you know, he feels forever for the, he's still making. I mean. Still making love with them, even though they're gone almost. It's like, and to look at that moon again and see them, it's just remember this wave of memory of shared time together just never ends, and they're still alive within his memory. So it's not even as though they're truly gone, yet they are, because the memory is alive, and his, you know, it's just, it's really quite gorgeous and beautifully done.
Absolutely, yes. Thank you, Adam. And Kel, what did you think of the write that you read?
Oh, good God. When I got to, what was it? Damn it. Lost it. Okay. Neither night nor sleep could separate us. The stark reality of day brought to bear. Life's inevitability, the day I lost you, for in truth, tomorrow is promised to no one. Oh my, I've got goosebumps reading it again. I mean, this just touched me so deeply. It's just absolutely beautiful writing all the way through, passionate for his love, you know, and that's just, it's stunning. It really is. Absolutely stunning.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kel. Okay, so I've got the next one up, and this is by Chuck17, and I'll read this. It's called Beware the Kiss. Beware this fair lady's kiss. She's a sweet, sexy temptress, breaking down all my defenses and assaulting my skin. She's able to read lips, sharing so many kisses. She must be writing my biography. She whispers through the window of my soul and entices me to throw away every inhibition. She pulls open her curtains and begs me to enter. She caresses parts of my body I never knew had feelings. There is an explosion of passion that leaves us both gasping for air and grabbing for more of each other. First the counter, then the floor, then that big brass bread. Pieces of clothing leaving a trail towards the bedroom as we explore one another from head to toe. Then we meet in the middle for an evening of bliss until we fell victim to exhaustion and poem. I liked it. You know, it's passionate. It's matter of fact and direct. You know, leaves nothing hidden. And I thought it was wonderfully done. What did you think, Lauren?
Top to bottom, this works very well. But that line, she whispers through the window of my soul and entices me to throw away every inhibition. Sometimes a love can be a heady concoction, and you do tend to throw away your inhibitions, and you begin to explore each other in ways you never did, in places that you never did. Who would think of a counter? The floor is obvious, but watch those knees. Then that big brass bed and pieces of clothing scattered everywhere as that heady mixture of sex and love pushes you to feats of athleticism that do bring about exhaustion, even when in the middle of bliss. I like that a great deal.
Yeah, it's real.
Great comment. Thank you, Lawrence. And Naomi, what did you think?
Pieces of clothing leaving a trail towards the bedroom as we explore one another from head to toe. That brings back so many memories in the past. yeah, that's just some of those moments where you can't get enough of each other. And all through this poem, it's just straightforward. And it's just passion here. So this is just a wonderful write, Chuck. I really enjoyed this.
That was a great comment. Thank you, Naomi. And Adam, what did you think?
I totally agree. It brings up, because of it's so a matter of factness, as was said, it's like very real. It's not really trying to beautify anything. Well, there are beautiful lines, don't get me wrong. But it's the idea of it, too, is more so it conjures up your own personal experiences. I mean, hopefully. And what really got me, when I remembered, because I remembered a specific love, because I almost felt like, I don't know, I'm always, she caresses parts of my body I never knew had feelings. So that makes me think, like, they're going to experience to a degree, to just a slight degree of inexperience with the man, and it reminds me of my dalliances with more experienced women, and they somehow reach something in you that hasn't been reached before. And I'm sure a woman can relate to that, and the vice versa of such. And it really, that's when I suddenly like tuned in and was like, okay, let me. And then it just began that matter of fact from here to there. As Naomi spoke, the trail of clothing as the passion just ensues, and Lauren said, just you collapse in exhaustion and passion and bliss. It totally comes off like that. It's a great like narrative way of like telling this, coming together.
Well said. Loved it. Thank you, Bob. That was a great comment. And Kel, what did you think?
Very passionate, and I'm not going to get into any memories.
Aww.
Yeah.
Tell us
yeah.
about new ones you want.
Yeah, there you go.
No, with. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, this is very passionate. It's intriguing. You can't help just keep reading it because you want to know what's going to be next, in this explosion of passion that leaves them both gasping for air and grabbing for more of each other. I mean, that's really an awesome experience. So, yeah, very well done, Chuck.
Great comment. Thank you, Kel. Okay, Lawrence, I have the next one up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
All right. Refresh. Okay, this is called Bird of Paradise by Daniel Duhaime. Sweet messenger of love's lyrics, sing a gentle tune of desire, just like the first bird to sing for Adam and Eve, serenading them with whimsical music, molding two hearts into one that could only be broken by transparent eternity. Bird of paradise, keeper of the secrets of love, enduring phase of haunted memories that burn bright when the fire of love is lit. Never forgotten, but burnt into every soul as a reminder of the first love that blossomed into the birth of humankind. Angels rejoice in the triumph of love's blessings, captured in the sparkling eyes, set aglow by desires played out by a yearning so intense that to forego its callings brings despair. Dance, O merry cherubs, for the sounds of blissful interludes of two bodies merged into one. End poem.
Well, it was beautifully read, Lawrence. And, how touching is this poem? It's full of love and desire and, the bird of paradise being the keeper of secrets of love, enduring phase of haunted memories that burn bright when the fire of love is lit. never forgotten, but burnt into soul as a reminder of the first love. You know, just a hauntingly beautiful poem. What did you think, Naomi?
Yeah, the use of birds throughout this, Bird of Paradise, is just so amazing. Enduring phase of haunted memories that burn bright when the fire of love is lit, never forgotten but burnt into every soul. It's just so beautiful the way the wording in this, whimsical, serenading them with whimsical music, molding two hearts into one. There's just the beautiful lines all throughout this. Just a beautiful piece here. I really, really enjoyed it. Daniel Jam, he's probably, he's maybe French. I've read a couple of his pieces here, and yeah, this is a, doesn't disappoint. Again, he's an amazing writer, and just he put everything into this piece. Just beautiful. Bravo.
Well said. Thank you, Naomi. And Adam, what did you think?
So this actually spoke to me of a higher level, almost the sacred divinity of lovemaking. Like, and I thought it was kind of apparent, you know, to hark back all the way to the beginning of Adam and Eve, so to speak, you know, not necessarily, I mean, for whatever your belief system, I don't want to start offending people, but I mean, the art of it, that it, that sex is, it actually is condoned by God. It's not supposed to be so taboo that, you know, the Puritans and so many have made it. Actually, God relishes in our lovemaking with our partner. He loves it. Like, you're supposed to. You're supposed to enjoy each other and ravish each other. And it just, it's brought to life in this, but done very beautifully and, like, classically almost, too. It was, musically, as Naomi said, it's so lyrical. And you almost could hear the harps and the lutes and and... Yeah, but it's like raises it up back to the its platform it deserves, right? Because, I mean, yeah, we love the dirty stuff, but, like, let's think about how beautiful it truly is and what its purpose was, and that it's echoed throughout time. And we are the, you know, if we're the descendants of Adam and Eve, that's why it's an aching burn of hauntingness, because it's our haunting, our lovemaking with each other goes all the way back to them, because it resides in our DNA, our genetics still. Because, like, every cell in your body has memory that reaches to your ancestors. So if we all come from the original, too, that's why it's haunting. You know, that's how I took it. I don't know.
No, I agree. I agree. Thank you, Daniel. And Cal, what's
Adam.
His name?
Oh, Daniel, the writer. Yeah, right, my bad.
Daniel's the writer, yeah, yeah. Adam, sorry.
I was seeing it the same way Adam did, as a spirituality between... the two first two lovers, and the way he wrote this was absolutely—I'm using that word too much—but you know, it's beautiful. It really is. Just like the first bird to sing for Adam and Eve, serenading them with whimsical music, molding two hearts into one. And these phrases are just. I don't know any other words to say. They're just absolutely beautiful. You know, I can't think of anything else.
Well, thank you, Kel. And Lauren, what did you think?
Well, I agree with Naomi when she speaks of the first bird to sing for Adam and Eve. And I was absolutely delighted to not see the apple raise its ugly head. vis-a-vis... Adam's comment, the line, never forgotten but burnt in every soul as a reminder of the first love that blossomed into the birth of humankind. I too agree that there's a higher plane to this. And if we are made in God's image, well, God must be horny too. He understands that. He knows what's going on. You understand? So from that point of view, I see no reason not to be as loving as possible to one's loved one. I like this a great deal.
Great comment. Thank you, Lauren. Okay, I've got the next one up, and this is Frank's got a SoundCloud for this, so.
Cool.
By Poetic Picasso. called The Child of El Rapture.
Mi amor. In the peaks of your bosom I discovered wild pleasures of the unrestrained night, the ecstasy of the moonbeams, of the naked hunger of desires, invoking the mysticism of the ancient mysteries of passion, with the softness of your skin and glow of your exotic eyes. We uncover the veil of the seduction of our eroticism beneath the sable silk sheets covering us in its sultry shade, where we play the naughty game of hide and seek together, exposing the blaze that lights up the fire to our lovemaking. We succumb to the sensual fruits of our love and lust, our lips entangle in the moisture of our kisses, our hands embrace in the sway of the cool breeze, caressing the fusion of our bodies, emerging as one. The ravenous spirits of our erogenous delights emerge from the depth of the Spanish chateaus, enticed by the heat emitted from our thermal radiation, burning into the core of our volcano eruption. The night could never disguise our yearning craving displayed in the penetrating moon is the shroud of our rapture, as we are the witnesses to its powerful incantation. The shadows of the spirit awakened by the moonlight. Tu amor es mi ser, mi cuerpo es tu hambre, solo vivo por tus besos mojando mis labios. Your love is my thirst, my body is your hunger. I only live for your kisses, wetting my lips. Mi amor, mi calor in the poem.
Well, how seductive is that voice, eh? You know, and then the themes that he goes through. In the peace of your bosom I discovered wild pleasures of the unrestrained night, the ecstasy of moonbeams, the naked hunger of desires. Yeah, just an epic, right? You know, it's full of powerful incantations and just desire to build. What did you think, Lord?
I think that Frank is a master of the sexual metaphor. And he demonstrates it each time we enjoy one of his passionate poems. And this is certainly a stand-up piece in a line of successive passionate pieces that he's graced us with lately. And it's a little enviable to be able to write about passion as well as he does. I enjoyed this a great deal.
Thank you, Lort. That was a great comment. And Naomi, what do you think?
Yeah, Frank brings it all the time with his voice and his theatrical experience. You can see that in every write, whatever genre he writes in. He always brings that experience of the theater, playing on the theater with along with him. And this is just, wow, you know, it's just flooring. And I love, your love is my thirst, my body is your hunger. I only live for your kisses, wetting my lips. Mi amor, mi calor. That's the ending there. Oh, just, yeah, you wet your lips and you explode, like you said, into a volcano eruption. So this is just sensuality, just painted upon the page, just spilled everywhere and just dripping. And yeah, in this seductive voice here. So bravo, Frank. Bravo again. Amazing, right?
Well said. Thank you, Naomi. And Adam, what did you think?
Yeah, you guys touched on a lot of it. Right away, I was like, man, we got the Spanish guitar going. And I love that the guitar, like the beat of that was up tempo. And yet he was about, I think he was half time with it, maybe slower even. And that really spoke to me as another layer to this. Because so often we can do that when we add other aspects of art into art. So that was telling a story too of his slow read in his theatrics, which is awesome, by the way. That voice just, I was like, man, if only I could do that. Like, I was like thinking, like, how would I read this? And it really sucked you in. Like, it was almost like these separate poems together that could stand alone in their beauty and their completeness. Yet he tells us this whole, like, just, and still even it's just a moment. And all that passion, because it was not even like the length of a song, you know, and you know it's going longer than that. And it was just, I don't know, it was captivatingly beautiful, his metaphors, everything. And I loved how the beat was up-tempo, that guitar, and he was slow strolling us through this thing. Like, that's how you seduce, you know? It's like, that's how you do it. Like, the passion is burning hot and fast, but you have the experience to take your time. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree. Thank you, Adam. Appreciate that. And Kel, what did you think?
It's classic, Frank. Very seductive and sensual. Beautifully written. I'm with Naomi, though. I really love that very last line. Your love is my thirst, my body is your hunger, I only live for your kisses, wetting my lips. Oh, God, that just got me. Yeah, this is a fantastic write, and it's beautiful all the way through. His metaphors are fantastic. Oh, it's just beautiful. It's, as most of this stuff is, just keep going, Frank, keep going.
Thank you, Kel. Okay, Naomi, I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please, by Linda Burns.
Okay. Why the king sleeps where the king sleeps. The palace is fine, all furnished with silver. The silver is pure and has never tarnished. Gold drops from pots turned over for spilling. But the king can only sleep in the garden. The palace walls are well fortified. There are guards on each door and each window. Of excellence and security, there is indeed no question. Yet the king only finds rest in the garden. The nights are balmy with rose-scented breezes. But for moonlight, no covering is needed till the changing seasons brings on something she's not pleased with. To please his delicately exquisite new queen, the king will sleep in the garden. and poem.
Fantastic read. And, you know, this is a lovely poem. You know, it's descriptive and it's a story. The palace walls are well fortified. There are guards on each door and each window. Of excellence and security, there is indeed no question. Yet the king only finds rest in the garden. It must be a beautiful garden at that. What did you think, Lord?
Well, I was entranced by this, actually, because I wanted to find out why the king only finds rest in the garden. If that's where his lady fair chooses to sleep, I too would sleep in the garden. But he uses the lines, till the changing seasons bring something that she's not pleased with, which puzzles me a little bit. I'll look to someone else for explanation on that. Despite all the security, all the niceties, all the finery in the palace, none of that matters as much as where he needs to sleep for the ease and comfort of his queen. Beautifully done.
Thank you, Laura. That was a great comment. And Adam, what did you think?
So I was right there along with Laurent. Like, that hit me like stark. Like, what? Why is he? Why is she unpleased? Because it sounds like, because really the voice of it is talking of admiration for the king. Like, this speaks of like the writer or whatever just admiring this man. You know, which gives you a good feeling as you read it as a man. You feel like, oh, she loves me. She understands my plight. She understands what I'm going through. That I only find my rest in her. That is where I need to be. But then that line just throws me for a loop, and I'm trying to figure it out right now. And I just, it's a block. Because there's no real cues I can find that tell you why she's displeased. Maybe because she feels bad that he only finds comfort with her, and he's neglecting the rest of everything he's given his kingdom. I don't know what it is, but there's a lot of empathy for him as a man in this. It's beautiful and sensual in that closeness, that understanding, because that's what we all like. That's intimate, to be understood by your mate, your partner. Like, that is beautiful, almost beyond sex, really, that they understand you, that they're ready. You know, I don't know. Yeah. I'm still trying to figure that out, though. Maybe they will tell us what that's about later. Just ask.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Adam. Great comment.
Thank you.
And Kel, what did you think?
Well, I'm with the rest of you. I have no idea what that means. The rest of it, I mean, it's absolutely exquisite. Gold drops from pots turned over for spilling, and it almost makes me think of, you know, King Midas or something. But, you know, when it gets to that little bit, it just kind of changes the whole tone. You're just kind of lost. But, you know, it's also really kind of tender and sweet that he can only sleep where his queen is happiest. And that's really awesome. You know, we all want to find somebody like that. It's beautiful.
Okay. Thank you, Kel. And Naomi, what did you think of the poem that you read?
Yeah, I think I analyzed this, and, you know, the king is sleeping in the garden with his queen. And then when the season changes, the garden, the flowers, they'll wilt and the garden will close. And then he sleeps in a new garden, which is her secret garden. I think that is what this poem is all about. Yeah, I think so. This is very exquisitely written, very eloquent in its wording here. And, I've never read anything from Linda before, Linda Burns, but I'll be reading more of her poetry. This is just beautiful.
Thank you, Naomi. Okay, Adam, I have the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind reading, please.
Give me a sec to refresh or what have you.
Yes.
Oh, man, I should have already been on that. My bad. I didn't know I was coming up. All right, it's the Need Nothing to Figure Out Your Love.
Yeah.
All right. I need nothing to figure out your love. need nothing to figure out your love. I renounce the full moon's aid. Nor I don't need my fluorescent bed. Only I need your jots of breath. Don't want to know whether you are donned in pink or red. I care not who tiptoed into my cell and kissed my head. I know the warmth of your flesh and aware your love can travel to what length and breadth. You are way too clear in the dark pitch night. Without any makeover, you are more than neon light. I don't want you call my name while you moan in the stint of game. I am aware you have come, for I have felt this torch and its flame. I have never seen such a ruffled bed and such wildest love that is hard to tame. End poem. Pablo Neruda.
Fantastic read, Adam.
Shinshari Ubisoro Blanca.
Yeah,
Shinshari
Roy Biswara. That was the author.
That's amazing.
But, it was a pretty poem. You know, it's full of just blind desire and love for this person that he's with. And, it shines clear in the night as a neon light. I'm aware you have come, for I have felt this torch in its flame. I have never seen such a ruffled bed, and its wildest love is hard to tame. Just a beautiful write. What did you think, Laurent?
I'm fascinated by the line, I care not who tiptoed into my cell and kissed my head.
Mm-hmm.
Warmth
mm-hmm.
of your flesh, and aware your love can travel to what length and breadth. When there's an allusion to something very briefly like that, that seems to be out of place, to me the author is trying to tell us something. But it's almost as if this individual is in a cell in jail, perhaps.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And what transpires is his imagination, not an actual scene in reality, but something that he is thinking to himself. Because I need nothing to figure out your love. He has nothing, but he needs nothing. So, beautiful piece.
Great comment. Thank you, Laurent. And Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, that was exactly what I was going to say, what Laurent mentioned there. That really
I'm
stuck
sorry.
Out to me, too. You have the right. the cell really stuck out to me in the middle of this poem. It was just the word that really stuck out to me. And the way he describes, if that is the case, this love making and this, this tenderness all throughout, it's just superb, very, very well written piece and very unique in its way. I just enjoyed this very much. Thank you. I can't say his name there, but I'll be reading more of them for sure.
Thank you, Naomi. And Kel, what did you think?
I thought it was kind of like I Can Find You Anywhere sort of vibe.
Mm-hmm.
No matter where I am, you're always with me. Even if it's a jail cell, if that's what that is all about. I thought it was very touching and in some ways it's extremely tender. So it's beautiful.
Well said. Thank you, Kel. And Adam, what did you think?
I was wondering some of the same questions. I didn't, because I was in the middle of reading at the time, I guess I wasn't as, able to dive into it. But there was this, what's this going on all of a sudden? And it sounds explained well enough that it makes sense that it could be a prison. And also that carries in the same tie that to be loved anywhere or, that it will work in that same regard because, isolation from your either love interest or your actual love, it can transcend those things. It can transcend the prison cell. It can, you know. But also, I like, you know, Lamont's statement that maybe it is a fantasy for the CO or whatever, or just to anybody that, you know. There's some interesting lines that kind of make you question what exactly is going on, but and it's true that when you see something like that in a poem or whatever, it's so stark against everything else, like it stands out. There's a purpose, hopefully, behind it, and that should like tell you more about actually what's going on than, you know, that's where the secret lies, you know, of what's in there. So it was really well done. Like, that's a masterful thing to do in writing, to hide your absolute truth in plain sight, almost. But even with still, we're still kind of like, which is, it's good because it keeps you thinking about the right, keeps you wondering about it, keeps you rereading it, trying to understand and comprehend exactly. You know, it's good. It's good writing to keep someone coming to it, or, you know, even the technique of leaving someone wanting more. So you're going to start thinking about the story of this person in depth. I think it's wonderful. It's really good.
Well said. Thank you, Adam. Okay, Kel, you're up. Please, thank you.
Okay. All right. Love every moment, by Kel Smiles. Blessed are the lover's delight, hearts full-bodied in twilight, given to each other equally, souls stretched through eternity. Freedom of expression is essential, for love is noted as unpredictable, falsely accused as being infallible. Instead, lessons learned are invaluable. Intimacy is the knowing glances. Timeless acceptance is the balance. Passions flare in emotional tension. Lifestyle resides in harmony's extension. Conversely speaking of hopeful dreams, reality is laughing, living in time. Marriage isn't only the do's or vows. It is living every moment despite flaws and foam.
That was a fantastic read. And, you know, this is a lovely poem, you know, about being eternally stretched through this, through souls being stretched through eternity. And you know, freedom of expression is essential, for love is noted as unpredictable. And, you know, all your little notations on love and what love is and marriage is well received. Excellent job, Kel. Laura, what did you think?
I think the poet is making the point that love is not all good times. It's, as she says, falsely accused as being infallible. Instead, lessons learned are invaluable. Intimacy is in the knowing glances. Timeless acceptance is the balance. You're not always going to have a peaceful relationship. As she says, passions flare in emotional tension. Lifestyle resides in harmony's extension. We need to get past those moments of trouble and then slide into a different frame of mind where indeed we create a harmonious reality. And to finish, marriage isn't only the I do's or vows. It is living every moment despite flaws. She makes the point again. Nothing is perfect, including love, including marriage. But, you know, we need to work at it the best we can. And the longer you do, the better the marriage is. Nice piece, Cal.
Excellently said, Laurent.
My pleasure.
Beautiful comment, Laurent. Thank you. And Naomi, what did you think?
First of all, the flow and rhyme within these couplets, Kel, are so like just divine. You almost forget that it's a rhyming poem, so eloquently flows. And, I was never, like, happily married, but I imagine, you know, that marriage does take a lot of work and effort, and you portray this so well throughout the poem, giving advice and stating, you know, all the facts here that are in a marriage, all the lessons there inside of a marriage, through your words here. So this is an amazing piece on marriage, and it's true. Marriage is not just the do's and the vows. It's you know, it's accepting each other. It's living together. It's living and finding that harmony, as you state there. You know, it's intimacy, and is in the knowing glance. It's timeless acceptance is the balance. Those lines right there, you know, they're just beautiful. Just a wonderful write, Kel, here.
Great comment. Thank you, Naomi. And Adam, what did you think?
Right there, aligned with everybody else, definitely the whole time. It's like, I was thankful. So it's kind of like, oh, great. I'm glad to hear someone actually break down this over-romanticized. Because, I mean, we love to fall into it, be enwrapped in it, and it's so great to be taken over with the romanticizing of love, but the reality is where it is, and anybody that's been in even relationships where you love the person to utter death, you also want to kill them to death. Like, it's in line, right? And that is reality, and that's love, and that's okay. That's why it's a fallacy, because it's not true, but we do this, especially when we're young, and especially when we're swooning or crushing. We think, and then when the image shatters, we feel betrayed. But they never did anything wrong. They were always that person. You just got tired of it, you know. And it's just beautiful lessons, and everybody punched on all that. So I'm going to talk on something. Damn, stuttering. Talk on something different that I saw, and it's in her technique that I thought. I don't know if it's really there or not. I viewed it as such. When she hits the word flaw at the very end, to me that's dissonance to stand up against the rest of it, to say, like, yes, love is beautiful and entwines and all her rhyming scheme, but at the end, flaws doesn't really rhyme with vows. Even you can't even bend it really to rhyme together. So to me that's saying it's dissonance, that it's okay though, and especially using the word flaw seems very purposeful at that moment. I don't know if that was done on purpose. Maybe I'm reaching here. But I saw it. To me, I see that. Kel, is that true? Was that purposely done to stand against the whole flow of the nature of the poem to show that it is flaws are okay? I don't know. Maybe I'm seeing something that's not there.
Thank you. Well, that was a fantastic comment, Adam. And Kel, would you like to say anything about your poem?
No, I think everybody's pretty much covered it. I mean, flaws, Adam, I don't really remember. It's been a while since I wrote it. But, continue.
The right answer, Kel, the right answer is, Adam, you're a genius. How did you ever see what I did?
Oh, my God. No, I don't need any.
That's the right answer.
No, I've started to doubt. Now I feel like an idiot for even saying such. Oh, my God.
When I was writing it, I was trying to find a word that would work with vowels, and the only thing I could come up with was flaws, because it's close enough.
Well, I think it's a happy accident then, because it actually creates that.
Yeah.
Like, it actually works in that regard, but, like, because you got to really, because without the vowel resonance, it's, you really can't stretch the W, because following those vowel sounds are two completely different vowel sounds. But anyways, I'm sorry. I apologize. I don't mean to, like, get all weird about it.
And
fine.
You're fine.
But I think it works, though, still. It's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so I'm going to grab the next poem here. Oh, Lauren, you're up next. Sorry, I posted your
poem. All right. Thank you. This is called Only Opportunity. In her mind, Catherine became a wanton, curious, titillated by imagination, a fire in her loins yet to be fully lit. She had married a polished ne'er-do-well whose innocent spirit excused his every misstep. Perhaps he was willing, but in the end, obligated only to himself. His flint had sparked her, striking over and over, never taking hold. Once, a wisp of smoke, ember never flaring in the damp of the sheets. Always the woodsman, brutally chopping at the tree. Never the artisan, carved wondrous forms from delicate heartwood. Dreams were made of gossamer steel, a passionate lover whose strength could take her at will, but offered gentleness, eyes that could see deeply into her, forgiving, accepting, love-filled, never demanding. Swordsman who knew his weapon. She gave him a mustache, a huge curling thing she would cut off at the first opportunity, giggling. Seducer with curling blonde hair, shoulder length, powerful shoulders tapering to a slim waist. They would sleep as one body, lovemaking sweet narcotic, easing them into deep night, only dawn's pull granting consciousness. He would enter her and lay still. Catherine, squirming slowly and deliciously, woman in control, stretching herself to the point of pain. Metamorphosis into the briefness of happy death, released into a life existing as a fantasy from which she wished no recovery, only opportunity. End poem.
Fantastic read, Lauren. And how deep is that poem? You know, you speak of, in her mind, Catherine became a wanton, curious, titillated by imagination, fire in her loins, yet to be fully lit. You know, that starts it off. And then, you know, so you go through her beasting and, you know, her mischievousness and her beauty. But no, I thought it was just a beautiful write, Lauren. Excellent job.
Thank you.
Naomi, what did you think?
I think it's amazingly brilliant how you brought in, you know, the described how she escaped this marriage where she was married to this man who couldn't meet her inner needs. And you did it with such a delicacy, you know, that it's just, you know, you just glimpse it there in there, and it's so well worded. And then it has a bit of humor in throughout it too, I think. And you know, when you see this, she was dreaming of a swordsman who knew his weapon, and then you know, the dreaming all throughout and to the end, which she wished no recovery, existing as fantasy form, which she wished no recovery, only opportunity. That's just amazing the way you ended that. So this is, I find it just very, very clever and witty, and with a touch of humor throughout. So just an amazing write here, Laura. Just loved it.
Thank you very much, Naomi.
Thank you, Naomi. And Dan, I mean, sorry, Adam, what did you think?
The same thing. I'll just say same. Like, it was crafted very well. I loved walking through this woman's fantasy because of her spoiled opportunity, I guess, marrying the wrong dude. I guess that's what they say, to try the milk first, I guess. Make sure you don't get stuck into that. But, you know, here she does. You know, she carries on. She's still with him, I guess, but we don't know because she's waiting for the opportunity, right, to hopefully fulfill this fantasy. So, because I really feel like she would, like, if only, you know, if only I could find this swordsman and not have the hacking woodsman. You know, I loved it. I love the juxtapose of, like, you got this lame dude. He's all, I mean, he shouldn't be so lame, but he is, and Like, by all means, you shouldn't. You could, possibly, but, you know, you have the better lover that she fantasizes about that completely fulfills her needs, and it just makes you think of the woman and her life, and she kind of gives you the backstory a little bit in her telling through it. And I don't mean you, Laura. I mean, like, the her of the character. I know it's you. Yeah, it's cool. It's awesome. The wit. I love the wit in it and the fun, the hilarity. Because, you know, sex should be kind of, there should be these moments of levity within such an intense thing. If not, you'd just be overtaken.
Yeah. Well, you know, I use the word polished. Towards the top, the polished ne'er-do-well. She married a polished ne'er-do-well. The guy gives the impression that he looked good, but on closer mm-hmm. inspection, not too good.
Right.
Absolutely. Thank you, Adam. And Cal, what did you think?
Oh, good golly. This dude kind of reminds me of my a former husband.
Oh, I thought we were gonna hear this.
Yeah.
Do tell.
Yeah. what's the song? Satisfaction. Yeah.
I can't get no satisfaction.
And that's sad because it should come from both of us, for both partners. And I like that she gave him a mustache, a huge curling thing. She would cut off at the first opportunity, giggling. Seducer with curly blonde hair, shoulder length, powerful shoulders, tapering. She knows what she wants. That kind of made me think of Fabio.
I thought of romance now.
Yeah, this is, it's a brilliant little story, you know, about this woman and her fantasy. You know, well done from a female point of view. I can really appreciate that. Good job.
Thank you, Cal. And Lauren, would you like to say anything about your poem? Maybe we dropped Lauren. No, he's here.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had this coughing fit and I put myself on mute, I thought, and then noticed I hadn't, so I apologize for that. Like most poets, I think we start with a thought or a phrase or an image, and we get it on paper, even if it's not in the best way, and then we see what suggests itself, and we get to the second stanza, and the same thing happens. And after I was done with the second stanza, I saw that I would need her to meet someone, but it was awkward because she was married. How about putting it into a dream? And then I went from there.
Perfect. Excellent job.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so I'm going to continue with the open poetry here, and this writes by Manya, and it's called On the Altar of Ishtar. Seeking warmth in the cold night air, you wrap your arms around me. On your strong chest, I lay my head, listening to the boom of your heartbeat, comforting in its rhythm. I kiss your full lips with my burning ones, and you respond in kind, tongue fencing tongue, while our hands caress each other blindly in the dark, generating heat till we are both in conflagration. White hot lust mingled with sacred devotion, I worship on the altar of Ishtar, with you beneath me, moaning my name like a prayer upon your lips. We ascend into wonderful climax. The universe opens itself to us, but for a moment, and we fall back, spent upon blood-stained sheets. You kiss me on my forehead, and then on my lips. You wrap your arms around me, and I lay my head on your chest. And boom. Well, that was beautiful, right? You know, you can feel the connection that she has with her partner, and it's beautiful at that, especially where... we ascend into a wonderful climax. The universe opens itself to us, but for a moment, and we fall back, spent upon sweat-stained sheets. You know, it has the lead-up from the kiss, and then the actual act and then the love, the climax. And I thought it was just a beautifully portrayed story. What did you think, Laura?
Well, I agree with everything you said. It was a nice comment on the piece. It was hot, though. This piece lays it right on the line. Your full lips, my burning ones, the tongue fencing tongue, hands caress. She mentions a white-hot lust, and she worships on the altar of Ishtar with you beneath me, moaning my name like a prayer upon your lips. And then, of course, we have this very atmospheric rising up towards the universe, and then a falling back, and we find ourselves on sweat-stained sheets. You know, that moment of the climax being a rising, as if we're being flung into the sky somehow, is a very good way to describe a climax. It's relatable, let's put it that way. You know, I thought this is a very stirring poem. Thank you.
Well said. Thank you, Lauren. And Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, I think she painted a passionate lovemaking in such a sublime way here.
Yeah.
It's just beautifully etched across the page here. And those lines that Laurent mentioned there, I worship on the altar of Ishtar with you beneath me, moaning my name like a prayer upon your lips. Oh, wow. Those lines just caught me right there and right in the... And, yeah, like Laura said, this is very stirring, this poem there. It awakens different feelings and just beautifully written, Mamia. So, and Mamia, I always admire her writings and what a fantastic person she is. So this is a wonderful write, Mamia. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, and thank you, Naomi. And Adam, what did you think?
I can't believe you. I'm forever associated with Dan's poem now. It's crazy.
Yeah.
No, it's cool. No, it's all good. No, I'm wondering, are you doing it on purpose, though? That's what's starting to get in my head. I'm just kidding. So I feel like this is like taking off from the moment the Naruto, or how do you say his name?
Naruto,
what the heck? I almost feel like it's taking off from that moment at the end, you know, with the arm wrapped around her body, and like she's taking off from there. And I love just her whole, right, the intriguingness of it, is that it goes from the casual, it's so cold, right, you know, they're coming together and woken up to like, oh, wait, you're so sexy and I love you and let's make this cold go away, in which they do. Vehemently, the cold evaporates into this hot passion of like worshiping sex. Like, my God, and she does it so well. Like, to go from that kind of like mundane beginning of, you know, we're just in a bed, to the heights of heaven, to back in, you know, to the bed. It's lovely. It's wonderful, and I agree with Naomi. She writes really well. She's got an ability. Definite ability in her writing. Like, she can do very many different types too. It's amazing.
Absolutely, yeah. Thank you. And Kel, what did you think?
I like this white hot lust mingled with sacred devotion. I worship on the altar of Ishtar with you beneath me, moaning my name like a prayer upon your lips. It's not just the sexual act, but the fact that they are so totally devoted to each other. And that's what makes it so beautiful. I love Mamia's work. She's a brilliant artist, and this poem is truly a masterpiece. It's beautiful.
Good comment. Thank you, Cal. Okay, I'm going to grab the next one here, and we'll get to that. Okay. This is by Eric Hansen. And if you wouldn't mind, please link.
Can you put the link up again, Gray? Oh, okay, you just put it up. Okay, thank you.
Reading. Who's supposed to be reading? What?
Oh,
we're on,
right? Laura?
Is he all right?
Yeah, Lauren.
Okay.
Unless he's
he must
dropped.
Be. He may be on mute.
Yeah, he might be.
Laura.
Hello, Lauren.
That last poem got him.
No, I'm sorry. I'm here. I was on mute. I think her phone signal just died. I heard a very heavy electric squealing and hissing. So I think she's still in
time.
Oh,
are
no.
Lauren?
I'm sorry. Certainly. Eric Svensson, and then the words are spoken. Our history of love began eons ago when darkness covered the face of the earth. Not unlike yours, here, just before dawn, breaks into our beach hut. Soon, light lances will interject, inspect your sanguine features, sketch your acquiescence, safely encamped within arm bower. Darkness-covered furrowed oceans frown, riptide backwash here, beside salient palms. Never noticed sweet-scented frangipani blooms until you casually sauntered towards my shack. Suddenly, birds of paradise, gayness made step. Feathered brightness, bristled rainbow cadence. Unapologetic zest commanded darkness to dissipate. From here to eternity, jumped out of pages. Dawn, our magical window period, safely encamped within my arm bower. Our history of love is studied with sensual, sultry sunbeams. Whispering hope in soft angel tongue, my reason pledges allegiance, while heart gently bongo drums, thrums the words spoken eons ago. Let there be light. Ever always, your vibrant, everlasting light, my love. And then the words are spoken. Amen on what you're thinking. End poem.
That was a beautiful read, Lawrence. And, you know, this is a delightful poem. Full of, passion and desire and the magic of connecting with somebody, where they become the light. And your vibrant, everlasting light, my love. And then the words are spoken, amen, on what you were thinking. It's just a beautiful poem. What did you think, Naomi?
Yeah, Eric is is this master of words, as I always say, this magician, you know. He just comes up with these amazing, amazing twists of lines and words. Just strung together there so perfectly. Like he uses words that, like I already said, sometimes I don't know. I don't know my vocabulary because I'm French is my first language and that's my fault, that I don't know these words, some of them. And that cuts out a bit from my overall understanding of his rights. But they're just amazing. I mean, suddenly birds of paradise gayness made sense. Feathered brightness, bristled rainbow cadence, unapologetic zest commanded darkness to dissipate from here to eternity, jumped out of pages, so is he, you know, is this like pages of his imagination or, you know, I'm waiting for Laura or Adam's, you know, take on this poem, really. But this is an amazing work again, Eric, and just beautifully written across the page.
Thank you, Naomi. And Adam, what did you think?
I was thinking of from the start, I love how what it is. So we take the creation of all things, everything, the universe, the very beginning, and where we find them is a very humble spot. And in this humility, what he does in seeing her face is compared. It's reminiscent of Shakespeare. How should I compare thee to, right? And he compares her to the frickin' beginning of the universe. And in that, in the creation, that's what he's, I mean, that is beyond, like, you can't out-romanticize this. How can you go beyond that? How could you ever say anything better about your lover than you remind me of the beginning of all creation, of time itself, of existence? It's the highest height that you could say. Like, he's saying that she's, it blows me away. Like when I find, like, it finally hit me that, oh wow, he's comparing her to that. And it's utter, like, and it's humble about it too. Like, and it's beautiful. I loved it. It's captivated by his words, his ability to use certain words in a strategic way. He hits you with Lance. There's so many cool words where he's actually like doing little things with them that are quite interesting, and the way he can actually connect some of those words is very masterful. Wow. I mean, this is very skillful work.
Thank you, Adam. Great comment. And Kel, what did you think?
Well, for one thing, I'm thinking, oh my God, there's an Eric Svensson poem I can understand. And more
better
like
than
me. He really does. This is absolutely beautiful. Good golly. I agree with Adam from the beginning. I mean, to relate your love for someone to the creation, that's just epic. Damn. But I also like the parts where he mentions it a couple times, safely encamped within my arm bower. How can you feel any safer or more protected than that? It's like, you know, baby birds nestled under their mama's wing, you know, is just totally protected, and this is really amazing. Yeah, this is, wow. It's beautiful. He has so much reverence for his woman. It's mind-boggling. Very beautifully done, Eric.
Thank you, Cal. And so I've got the next write-up. This is by Martha Gettle, and she has a SoundCloud. But first I'm going to bring on a caller from area code 423. Who's calling, please?
Ho, 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 ho.
Hey,
Rex. You got on.
Absolutely, yeah. Did you get a chance to hear the last poem there, Rex?
Oh, Eric's, yeah. There was a nice underlying note of sweetness that walks a different path as that darkness retreats to reveal the full heart of bloom. And Adam hit on that note of clarifying it to the dawn of time, which was a great note because he starts off with that clarifying note in the first two lines. and then walks everything down, and then again reinverts it on the back end of it to reinforce the thought itself.
Rex, did you catch the line from here to eternity?
Absolutely. I thought that was a nice, clever note, because you get that full vision on the beach of the two lovers in the water being awash.
Bravo.
Well, thank you for calling in, Rex. I'm going to play the SoundCloud from Martha Gettle.
Climb Over the Moon by Martha Gettle. Baby, as I make my way through my day, those thoughts of you are never far away. The things we do when I get home, they give our home a foundation of stone. So baby, let's head back to that room, and again you and I climb over the moon. Every time you take me in your arms, babe, you make my heart feel so safe and warm. Climb over the moon, climb over the moon. Babe, you know it can't happen too soon. Darling, it has been such a long day, you see. I want you to climb over the moon with me. Baby, you are all that I'm thinking of, and you keep me wrapped up in love. And as your arms pull me close, I have what I need the most. Climb over the moon, climb over the moon. Babe, you know it can't happen too soon. Darling, it has been such a long day, you see. I want you to climb over the moon with me. Climb over the moon with you in my heart. Baby, I can't wait that journey to start. Wrap me in your arms nice and tight, and let's climb over the moon tonight. Climb over the moon, climb over the moon. Baby, you know it can't happen too soon. Darling, it has been such a long day, you see. And I want you to climb over the moon with me. Love, you know it is the best it can be. Whenever you are laying close to me, and every time that I look in your eyes, I'm ready again to take that climb.
Fabulous singing. You know, I love the gentleness in this. This is very sweet and tender. So baby, let's head back up to that room, and you and I again climb over the moon. Every time you take me in your arms, babe, you make my heart feel so safe and warm. You know, how beautiful is that? What did you think, Laurent? Oh, he'll be right back. Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, well, to climb over the moon with somebody, that feeling there, you know, the emotion of the climb and the moon being the ultimate star, you know, in our galaxy. It's just the feeling from that phrase just shines through, I think. And this all through, it's just a wonderful testimony of, you know, wanting and yearning for somebody to come home to them and to, you know, become one with them. Just a fantastic song all through here, Martha. So I just enjoyed it. Just a beautiful piece. Thank you.
Great comment. Thank you, Naomi. And Adam, what did you think?
I love Martha's songs. They're amazing. They're always so catchy. I found the catchiest line of all was the way her melody changes. And baby, you know, it can't happen to, so like she just can't wait, you know, because it's been a long day and it's so real, down to earth. But yet it takes you away. Yeah, it takes you away. Because that's what her lover is to her. I mean, this person takes her away. She's over the moon for them and wants to climb over it literally with them. And she just, I love the devotion behind that. Can't wait to get home because, you know, work's a drag. And I want to be with you, babe. And I love it. I just love her classic style of country western. I'm not sure exactly what style it is, but it's great. Always has that great rhythm. And comes around, has that, you're anticipating the verses and the comeback round of the choruses. It's great. Well done. Well, really good writing. She's always great.
Awesome comment, Adam. Thank you. And Kel, what did you think?
Well, as Adam was saying, as always, Martha comes through with a beautiful write. I love the phrase, climb over the moon with you. That's just really sweet. There's a lot of gentleness and love in this. It's really amazing. Beautiful.
Great comment. Thank you, Kel. And Rex, what did you think?
Well, it's a little different from Martha. The metaphor in this is a nice, easy touch because it delivers on what is what the plan is. You know what I want? Now give me what I need.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Great comment, Rex. Thank you. And are you back, Lauren? No, he's still away. Okay, Rex, you're up next, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay. Strengthening of almond, we became. Dearest, we lay in hazeltine clothes, to be wrapped in charcoal shawl, and bid shuriken sparkless to kiss our moonlit kith. Sweet chirps of cricket violins waltz fair Enon's breath, where Calithus walks close across thine festive mango crepe, titillated and abuzz in a goosebump. Agree. Oh, to raise cup chalice, then sip on Nib's milk and voice, lost in desiderium. We hollowed out the sun, only to find Ceridwen in full bloom. Her flowing gown whispering, Losci Lacainos, shredding our veins in the sprinkling of almond, we became. And poem.
Excellent read, Lord. I mean, Rex, and can you explain Blasog Lacainos?
It's Welsh for burn bright the night.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, no, this was beautiful, you know. It has that, foreign to me, but, you know, the language is definitely exotic and titillating. You know, to raised cup chalice and sip on Nib's milk and voice, lost in desiderium. Just a fantastic write. Beautifully read. Laurent, are you there?
Thank you, Gray.
I am indeed.
Did you get a chance to hear Rex?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I missed the first line, I think, but no, that's okay. I was really admiring your word choices through this. Formidable little poem. Dearest, we lay in hazeltine clothes to be wrapped in charcoal shawl and bid shuriken sparklers to kiss our moonlit kith. Excuse me. And I sat here and I was looking at it. Hazeltine clothes, okay, I got that. Charcoal shawl is beautiful phrasing for night. Shuriken, I believe, are those little throwing blades, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
That gave me a little bit pause right there because that doesn't have the most pleasant of, unless it's just the shape, but it doesn't have the most pleasant of connotations. So that fascinated me. Then we moved into the sweet chirps of cricket violins. And I love your use of the older English waltz fairy evening's breath where Colitis wafts cross. That stopped me. And I figured I didn't have time to look it up. But then came Mango Crepe, titillated and a buzz and a goosebump filigree. And I said, I've got to research the entire stanza. And then I loved the next. Oh, to raise cup chalice, then sip on nibs, milk, and voice. That is nice, nicely done there. Very skillful. We hollered out the sun, only to find Ceridwen in full bloom. If I'm not mistaken, the one thing I can spot, is she known as the crone?
She's the Welsh goddess of the moon, and also the one who gives inspiration for poets and bards. So she's known for the thought of being the goddess of poetry as well.
But in the physical appearance,
that
is she a beautiful woman?
I believe she's
well, at any rate, look, that's the material. Really, that's the material. I'm sorry. I'm just in deep admiration of this. It's a real wordsmith to be able to write something like this. And who is Awen?
Oh, Awen is the physicality, the inspiration of poetry.
Well, I'm in deep admiration of this piece, my friend. Just proves I
just said, thank you, Mark. Beautiful comment, Mark. And Naomi, what do you think?
Well, nobody can tickle my brain and my insides as much as Rex and his writing. It's just so deep, but at the same time, it flows in such a, like an enchanting, whimsical way through down the page. It's just so, like, uniquely himself, and nobody writes like him. Yeah, Laura, you picked out all the lines, you know, there's none left.
Well, I admit it, I understood none of it.
Titillated and a buzz in a goose-bumped filigree. I just thought that was just amazing. And the next stanza, too, that Laurent already mentioned, yeah, that's the chalice, the cup chalice, you know, that's the epiphany of, you know, of everything sticking out of that chalice, that holy chalice there. This is just an amazing write throughout you, Rex. And like always, I'm enchanted when I read your writes. So this is another one of them. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Naomi.
Beautiful, beautiful comment, Naomi. And Adam, what did you think?
Oh, my God, don't come to me. I'm such a novice compared to thee, Rex. Dude, you are truly the Intimidus, for real. My God, I would dream of writing this way. So, like, it's so exotic to my ear, but, like, there's key things that, like, still resonate, and that's good because it keeps you enthralled because this could just put someone off. I could see that happening, you know, because they just can't. But once you actually kind of hear someone read it proper to the way the words are pronounced and so forth, it's really enchanting. It is a spell. It's like I'm in some Celtic spell right now and some dance of, and I love it. I love it to death. And I also liked, so I immediately looked up Alwyn, and so I knew that immediately when coming into this is poetic inspiration. And I liked how Alwyn we became. Like, it has a drop to a lift. I don't know if that was on purpose, but the sprinkling of Alwyn we became, it kind of has this a flow in my mind, like a wave. And my favorite thing that spoke to me, because my simple, humble mind could only really grasp this as poetic, like, was the hollowed out sun. And I didn't know, I didn't necessarily know what Sheridan was, but to know that it's the moon, it's the goddess representation of poets and bards and inspiration in full bloom. I'm literally there over the moon for this. Like, this is awesome, beautiful, well done, using completely foreign now, you know, language. Most people probably don't speak this anymore. And to know it so well. And, it's so good, man. So good, Rex. I'm jealous.
Thank you very much, Adam.
Jealous as heck.
That's funny.
We all are.
Wonderful comment. Wonderful comment, Adam. And Cal, what did you think?
Well, believe it or not, Rex, I understood some of this. Oh, my God. And the Welsh, I knew that was Welsh. I don't know how I knew, but I did. I just didn't know what it meant until I read your Anne. But, yeah, this is really, and it's lyrical. It really is. It almost reminds me of the bards or the minstrels back in, you know, like the medieval times, you know, singing this song, and it's just really fantastic. Sweet chirps of cricket violins waltz fair evening's breath where Kaleidus waltz cross sign festive mango crepe. Wow. This is just amazing writing, Rex. And I'm glad I could understand something you wrote that just thrilled me.
Well, thank you, Cal.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Absolutely, yeah. And so I've got one more up, if you wouldn't mind, please, Naomi. It's by Stephen Holland.
Okay, by Stephen. She, me, a buzz of wings coming in for a landing on her welcome mat to escape the throes of life. She is where happy lives. Like a bee and honey, this is where I can feel myself again, so me-ish in her arms. My tongue devours her words. We swim deep into watery eyes, floating like stunned fish with blue faces. Ah, I forget myself. She is my home. And I'm never leaving. End poem.
That was beautifully read, Naomi. And, you know, I like this poem. I like the fantastical nature to it. He is a buzz of wings and coming in for a landing on her welcome mat to escape the throes of life. You know, we all kind of get that way in our lives sometimes where we're just, you know, looking for a place to land, and when there's a welcome mat that, you know, you can join in and feel at home, that's a beautiful thing. What did you think, Adam?
I loved it. It was cool. I felt that I loved the comfort it gave me, because that's what I felt more than anything was this person's complete comfort in their partner, complete utter comfort with them, you know, to get away from life's perils. You know, it's just out there in the world, people don't necessarily know who you are, but you hope that your partner does. They see you truly, and it's the highest level of intimacy to be truly seen and known, and to get away from the out there, because like, you know, because sometimes in you're so misjudged, or people take you wrong, or they don't really know you well enough to understand you, or, you know, you're just coming home, that word home, and this, I felt this closeness. I felt his closeness with his partner, and that's, it invoked that in me, that feeling, and I loved him for it. I loved him for loving her that way, to recognize that in his humility of, you know, her. And I feel kind of like he, I don't know. It's beautiful. It's really beautifully done.
Absolutely, I agree. Thank you, Adam. And Cal, what did you think?
Oh, golly, there is no better feeling in the world than knowing that when you come home to someone, that the total acceptance of that, it's home. You know, like Adam said, there is nothing more comforting than knowing that you have someone to come home to. And it's just to recognize a person as being your home. There's almost no higher regard. It's beautiful. This is a very beautiful piece.
Well said. Thank you, Cal. And Rex, what did you think?
I like the verb in this and the underlying tone of double meanings. The metaphorical angle played out well with a little touch of joie de vie, and the also the fact that it runs as a singularity to a tone by itself without reading a little deeper into it. Because you hit on the thoughts of her welcome mat, like a bee in honey. After all, bees flutter about, but they're always there to pollinate. Tongue devours her words, closing like stunned fish with blue faces. There's clever little notes of underlining meanings thrown in with this that works very well. But if you just read it straightforward, it's a nice homeward piece that speaks to the voice itself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That was a great comment, Rex. And Naomi, what did you think of the poem that you read?
Yeah, it's light, it's whimsical, it's almost like a little bit of fairy tale towed it to their feeling. But like Rex said, that when you look into it, you see deeper meaning, like in the lines, we swim deep into watery eyes, floating like stunned fish with blue faces. I think that's when he's expressing that he found his place with her against the world, you know, separate from the world. You can just imagine like two fishes in a bowl, separate it from the rest of the world. I think that's why, in my opinion, what he wanted to express there through those words, that they found their distinct little place, you know, so that they feel together and they feel just entwined with each other and separate from the rest of humanity there. So just a brilliant write, Stephen, and just so well worded throughout. The flow is just beautiful. So thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Naomi. That was a wonderful comment. And I'd like to thank everybody for calling in to share your hearts, your minds, your voices, and most especially your time tonight. I appreciate all of you. Much love, everybody. Have a great night.
Thank you. Thank you, Greg.
Night, gang.
Great to be here.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Great.
Thank you. Love you all. Bye.
Peace and love.